It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. That's what Free Talk Live is all about. You can change the subject, or you can bring up whatever you want to talk about, or you can comment on what we're talking about. And it doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live, and the point is to use your freedom of speech. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And remotely, Mark Edge.
And the big news tonight is that the FTX founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, was sentenced to 25 years in prison. His people were arguing that he shouldn't go to prison at all because he was autistic, so I'm interested to see what they said about that. This from the Wall Street Journal, FTX founder, and if you don't know what FTX is, that I can't remember what it stood for, but do you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it, I don't know what it stands for, but I know that it's was the largest exchange in the world, deep in with the U.S. government and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, provided a ton of money to Democrats. Actually, we have a local Democrat here who was masquerading as a free state or libertarian. Her name is Elizabeth Edwards, and she I heard a story secondhand from a really good source. I don't know if this was told to you yet, but anyways, she was working for Sam Bankman-Fried, and the neighbor was they were having real issues with their neighbor. Because they put a tiny house or something in the yard or a camper or something. Mm-hmm. And then the sister was living in it. And Sam Bankman-Fried bought the neighbor's house just because the neighbor was essentially harassing Elizabeth Edwards, who was working for her.
Whoa, in New Hampshire?
Yeah, like, you know, a couple years ago or something.
Wow, I've never heard that.
But yeah, he gave a lot. He basically laundered a whole bunch of money through Ukraine somehow, and sent it back and gave it to a whole bunch of Democrat politicians. And every politician who got money from FTX, I think, should be
at least investigated or something.
Well, they should be absolutely investigated, and they should willingly turn back all turn that money all over to, I don't know who, some authority that would pay back to victims.
Yeah, because they're actual victims in this case, unlike Ian Freeman's case that has to do with cryptocurrency. This FTX was a crypto exchange. It was the largest one in the world, apparently, and or one of the largest. And Sam Bankman-Fried was the founder of it. And it came crashing down because he was saying, oh, your money is here, it's safe doing this. But really, he was taking it and investing it in other things. Let's get into the story from the Wall Street Journal. It says, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced Thursday to 25 years in prison for what prosecutors called one of the largest financial frauds in U.S. history, capping the one-time crypto king's meteoric rise and fall. Less than 2 years ago, the mop-top millennial hobnobbed. What? That's what it says. The mop-top millennial.
That's what it says, I'm sure.
Hobnobbed with the heads of state, soaked up Caribbean views from his $30 million penthouse, and vowed to use his wealth to better humanity. A jury last year found the 32-year-old guilty of stealing billions of dollars from FTX customers and defrauding investors and lenders to his crypto investment from firm Alameda Research. So that's what he was doing. He was taking money from FTX that was supposed to just be in FTX and using it in his crypto investment firm, Alameda Research. U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan said that in determining the sentence, he weighed the brazenness of Bankman-Fried's actions, his lack of remorse, and the possibility he'd commit future crimes. Quote, there's a risk that this man will be in a position to do something very bad in the future, Kaplan said, and it's not a trivial risk at all. Yeah, he was kind of treated like he could do no wrong by his parents, it seems. The judge said Bankman-Fried owes $11 billion in financial penalties, ordering the government to use properties and assets seized from Bankman-Fried to compensate victims. Bankman-Fried stood stoically as Kaplan handed down the sentence. His mother, grimacing, looked out a courtroom window while his father put his head down in his hands. Well, you kind of messed up.
Well, I feel bad for the parents. I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know what their level of involvement was. I suspect some level of involvement. But I mean, you know, when in the world of crypto, lots of people made lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And Fried could have been running good business and making people lots of money. There are people who ran who run good businesses who have made lots of money for themselves and lots of money for other people. So it's possible to believe that Bankman-Fried wasn't defrauding people. The fraud that went on in Mt. Gox, for those who don't know, that was an early crypto scam.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious. Like, things were different at Mt. Gox than they were at the other exchanges. And there was even a website called BitcoinAverage.com. And Bitcoin Average would give you the average of all the exchanges of what they were calling Bitcoin. And you had a choice at the time of all the exchanges without Mt. Gox. So somebody thought the price of Bitcoin at Mt. Gox was, besides me, because I warned listeners on the air, please get out of Mt. Gox. Something weird's going on there.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep, well, free talk live.
Mark is always right.
I wouldn't go that far. I've had my fair share of investments that don't work, too.
Well, that's crazy.
Yep, so anyway, FTX didn't have the same sort of obviousness to the scam that was going on. I mean, there were some clues that afterwards you're like, oh yeah, because I think it was BlackRock who was doing a big meeting and had a bunch of executives in suits, and Bankman-Fried's on the other side of the meeting on an audio meeting, like a Zoom meeting, playing EverQuest, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. And like, you know, playing EverQuest while he talks to these people, you know, and like one of the people at the board allegedly said, I love this guy. I mean, come on.
That's just so weird. But it checks out with like his basic personality, like that he'd be like playing a stupid video game while he's supposed to be doing a serious, not interview, but meeting. That checks out. He just seems like a overgrown child.
Sure. And that's what happens to people who have a bunch of money. I mean, it's very, very difficult to be a child star and have a good life. Very few people are able to pull it off.
Yeah.
The hat tip to Ricky Schroeder. But, you know, most people, you just kind of have that, you know, all that money. And I guess one of the advantages could be your parents spend it all. And you don't get anything for what you did.
Or you become Britney Spears, who you don't get to touch any of it because your parents push you out of it somehow. And a lot of these...
Yeah, drove her crazy. And
a lot of these child stars are, you know, they pay a really hefty price. You know, they get molested. They get, you know, abused in all kinds of ways. They get taken advantage of.
Yeah, did you hear about the documentary that just came out called From the Shadows? Out from the Shadows? Or, that might be wrong. That's not it. It is about the Nickelodeon sets. Nickelodeon.
I heard a little bit about this on the David Avocado Wolf Telegram channel. I don't know if anybody...
Quiet on Set. That's what it's called.
Yeah, and basically they were talking about... there's a lot of stuff about Nickelodeon on there, and P. Diddy having something to do with some Nickelodeon thing. I saw
really?
A clip of that. Yep.
Okay, I keep hearing that P. Diddy is, like, missing or something.
Well, so here's the thing. What I really think is going on, not to digress too much, but with like P. Diddy, I think that every celebrity that is endorsing Biden is doing it under threat of blackmail. I think that there is some kind of Jeffrey Epstein style blackmail on all these popular celebrities.
Is P. Diddy doing that?
Well, he did endorse Biden. Eminem endorses Biden. Taylor Swift, like, sort of endorses Biden.
It seems like both Trump and Biden are crooked old perverts, right?
Yeah.
Definitely definitely Biden.
Yeah, I mean, Biden's a kid sniffer, but and that's documented. I'm not making that up. You know, he finds a little girl, he sniffs her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, your chances of being a young girl and walking by Biden without getting sniffed seem to be diminishing with his age. And I don't know what's going on there. But if I did that, people would call it weird. And they might use terms like pervert, and maybe they go so far as to use the word pedophile.
And
I don't know.
If Trump did it,
and,
they would go all over the place. They'd be going crazy about it.
That's actually true. Trump
now,
and them,
Trump
are,
appears
bad,
to
but...
be a whoremonger.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't know what's going on. If they're adults, I like that better than if they're getting paid and not getting ripped off. I like that too. But I don't like the idea that he's married and banging porn stars.
Maybe Melania just like understands she's kind of a porn star too. Maybe they have an understanding. She's like does whatever she wants as well.
I don't know what their understanding is. I always hesitate to try to guess what married couples have going on.
But
I know what it's like to try to make a life with somebody. There's ups and downs.
But if they don't have that kind of agreement, that makes me really sad. I think Melania is so pretty and so cool and so fabulous. I hope he's not cheating on her. But, I mean...
Well, that appears to be the case.
She seems to be fine with it if he's cheating on her because, I mean, like, maybe the money is worth it or something because she sticks
That's
around.
That's what my thought is.
If you're a young, attractive woman, your value to that, you know, 80-year-old, you know, wealthy pervert, you know, is, you know, you're basically going to have to, like, put up with stuff like that. Hmm. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, it does seem like we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to go to the phones. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I just sent you a little note. This is Mr. Idaho Lal running for Congress. And about the radioactive fertilizers killing millions, you must be aware it's killing everybody. And because we feed it to you, we've been doing it since 1942.
Are you talking?
We make it.
You make
so
it in Idaho?
One of them's going to wake up to it because everybody else is.
Tell us a little more about this radioactive fertilizer because there's
a
lot of horrible.
You ask me and I'll answer you because I want to know what you know. So go ahead.
Roundup is bad. Roundup causes cancer. I know that.
Roundup got nothing to do with the radioactive fertilizers.
Oh.
That's a ploy to get people's attention away from the fact that trillions in dollars of lawsuits are at risk here. And they will spend millions or billions to keep you off of the goddamn radioactive fertilizers.
Well, and the thing is...
And it's made in Florida, too, now.
They would rather give trillions of dollars to law firms than settle and pay you millions of dollars.
That's what people do. We help people all the time, and they're settled out of court.
So this radioactive fertilizer, like, describe to me how one gets this is this just like in the potting soil or fertilizer I buy at Walmart?
It's a fertilizer. It's called high phosphate fertilizer or fertilizer. It's the cheapest way of making it. It started in 1942 with the J.R. Simplot Company in Idaho, Pocatello, Idaho, the most radioactive city in the world.
Whoa.
Where people live and go to school and all that. There's plenty of stuff on the internet. All you got to do is Google the stuff.
Well, that's what
Free Talk... Radioactive City, Pocatello. Well,
awesome.
Anyways, let me answer your question, though. Oh. Okay, how is it done? They've been selling it and making it as a product because J.R. Simplot originally wanted to help the war effort and make more potatoes for the war effort. He was not told. He had to sign a secret agreement because this was all done under the Manhattan Project secrecy times, 1941, 42. And so he didn't even know why he had to sign it. He wasn't even told it's our largest uranium deposit in North America, 140,000 square miles. You know, it's complex geology, but that's what it comes out to. And that is, everybody makes uranium there, or it makes the fertilizer. That's where Monsanto's plant is, Bayer, DuPont. They got a huge pile of uranium sitting out in their backyard there. This is where they make it. Now Florida is in because they've convinced people everybody needs phosphorus. But nobody ever tells anybody it's uranium phosphate. Some people said, because they listened to me a little bit, they go, oh, some of it's in the gypsum stack. You know, no, it's in the product mostly. It goes with the product, okay? And it's all there. The whole uranium series is there. And
well,
it goes with the food.
Certainly something that
the
people listening can...
The tobacco company hired me years ago to how the uranium got in the tobacco. There, all their scientists couldn't figure out. They met me in Idaho at a Superfund site, and they did, and I proved it to them, and they took all their money out of the corporation, stopped it being sold east of the Mississippi River for 35 years, and then got the Surgeon General to change it. That's why we all know tobacco doesn't cause cancer. Neither does the one you just mentioned with the other Monsanto.
Oh, Roundup? Stuff because,
yeah, Roundup, yeah. But, hey, people want money, and if anybody wants to take money from corporations, I'll say go ahead and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So ask me another one. What do you need to know?
Well, so I'm going to ask you, we'll comment a little bit. I listened to a documentary about organic biosolids being dumped all over, spread all over farmland. And where these biosolids come from is they come from wastewater treatment plants, and they certified them as organic. And there was there's chemicals called PFAs, I think they're called. And there's so many of them out there. So there was a guy in Michigan. He's got a farm, like a couple hundred acres, you know, he's got like 40 mother cows. It's like his retirement farm, him and his family. He's like a grandpa and stuff. And so the slaughterhouse, USDA, randomly tested his meat, and these PFAs showed up in his meat. And on his farm where his cattle graze and where he raises his harvest corn. And so this is like a really good independent farm operation. Like, he grows all his own crop.
You want to know about that? I can tell you about that stuff as well. Started, actually, the places I know it started, in Pocatello, Idaho, again. Using wastewater, because water's short in the desert, using wastewater, sewage water, to put on to grow crops. Because basically it's, in a way, like putting regular fertilizer, cow fertilizer on a field. It's rich in nitrogen and all those, and phosphorus and things like that. But, of course, we also have the other problem because they've been using the other fertilizer, too. And, of course, they didn't want my attention to it, so they stopped it. They were no longer doing that there. But everybody now has a real water shortage, so people are looking for water shortages. So they'll justify the fact that using sewer water or whatever will help because it's a way to get rid of it, right? Get rid of it, but you end up eating it. You know, or in the cattle or whatever, and then it just ends up being attacking your organs, because hydrocarbons will attack your organs. They're still toxins, but radioactive toxins is radioactivity, and that's what causes cancer, because that has to disrupt the DNA and the RNA and those kinds of things, and that's what alpha beta particles do. And they get in your body, you got the shit, okay? You got it in you.
Oh, well, you can't say that. Well, you can't say that on the radio. Sorry about that. You're not supposed to say that. I think he said that, the S word.
He did.
Oh. That was a he?
Yeah, I think it was. I thought it was a man.
So what was that guy's name again?
I didn't catch his name. Well, I just saved his name on the phone as radioactive fertilizer guy.
Yeah, so that's pretty good information. So this biosludge thing was a program that was basically done all over the country. In fact, a whole bunch of guys in Colorado on some organic farms. I know the name of the organic farm. That milk product is in every, I probably shouldn't say it because it might be an issue. But they were from the Denver wastewater treatment plant. There was these guys that got these lucrative contracts to haul this biosludge out of the Denver wastewater treatment plant and go spray it all over these alfalfa and corn fields that were for an organic nationwide dairy that is the organic dairy products are on every Walmart in the country.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
That makes me so sad, because just the other day I go grocery shopping with Riley now, and we were talking about how can we possibly know if something that says organic is really organic?
So the biosludge is technically organic, but it has tons of PFAs, which are these forever chemicals that this caller was just talking about.
Yeah.
How they like attack your organs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically this stuff that, these chemicals that are being industrial waste chemicals that are going into the wastewater treatment plant, synthetic hormones from everybody taking your birth control and their synthetic, steroids
HRT
and all kind, all that stuff. The serotonin receptors, they're all ending up in the wastewater sewage, and it's basically getting distilled down into this biosolid. So they evaporate all of the water, and they have this biosolids left over.
Ew.
So it's basically like stilling alcohol, but you're stilling all these chemicals, from what I understand. And they're spraying it all over farmland, all over the place.
Oh my god!
All over the place, mostly in the Midwest. Some. I guess there's some in New York. There's a lot in Michigan. There's a lot in the outskirts of Detroit. There's definitely Denver and that whole area. Yeah,
that's terrible. That's absolutely crazy. That really freaks me out. Like, thank God I live in New Hampshire, where I can just buy raw milk from a farm nearby.
Yeah, as long as they weren't sprayed. You should ask that farm. Hey, have you guys ever had any biosolids sprayed on your property that came from the wastewater treatment plant? There actually is a list that you can get through your local, you know, Department of Agriculture or even, you know, sewage treatment in your city. They got to keep logs. Like, hey, City of Keene, sewage treatment. Have you guys done a biosolids program? Because there was a lot of federal money for this.
So freaking weird. Like, everything has so much estrogen in it. So yeah, it's so bad for you. And it's in the birth control. And then you go off birth control, but then they distill the pee and put it on your food anyway. That's so annoying.
So where I graze my animals, you know, has been forest for 100 years until I got there and started, you know, taking this forest and turn it into, you know, pastures and stuff. And I am quite sure that actually the guy I buy my hay from, he cleared almost all of his land in like the past 12 or 13 years, and he just spreads his own chicken manure. You know, he's a big time chicken guy, and he's an all organic chicken operation for like 12 years now. So I imagine that stuff's pretty safe. But yeah, there you definitely it's really hard to know what's in your meat unless you can actually visit the farm where your meat is raised. That's the only way you're going to know.
So I agree with that, and I like that idea. I'm glad that I can buy meat from you, and it's just so much better than other meat that I buy at the grocery store, which I mean, I just don't anymore, honestly. I have so much meat, I don't know what to do with it. But
That's not a bad thing. You got a good freezer full of it. You're good for a while.
Yeah, I'm so happy I have like a second freezer. But moving on from that, just going to wrap up this story about FTX. That is the guy is SBF. So
SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yes.
And I don't know what FTX stands for.
I don't know.
X is probably exchange.
Yeah. So that was the name of his exchange that failed and tons of people lost lots of money. And now he's being told to pay the victims over $11 billion worth, not like one person each gets that, but over $11 billion are owed by him in financial penalties, and the government is allegedly going to use that to pay victims, to compensate victims. And he got 25 years in prison. 603-283-6160. What do you think about this? What do you think about this guy? Did he actually have victims? Is it worth it for him to go to prison for 25 years? 603-283-6160.
Protection. Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. Just like the caller from the last segment, he called in to tell the people of America about an important topic to him, which is he's saying that the fertilizers used in America are radioactive, and he has proof of that, and he wants people to Google it. You know, it doesn't matter what your pet thing is. If you want people to know about something, call into Free Talk Live about it. I think that that's what this I know that that's what this show is for. So it's a really great thing whenever people call in about whatever it is that they want people to know. So 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. And before we get back into this story, well, first I should say, on the show with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Mark Edge, live from Florida.
Before we get back into the story, I would like to announce last night, I told a story about how I got banned from visiting Ian for 30 days. Well, thank you to anyone who called. I asked people yesterday to call the jail who were listening. I'm not sure if anybody did, but I know at least some people did in my real life. And I got unbanned, and the lieutenant apologized to Ian for the other guards' behavior. So thank you to everyone. Yes, I'm unbanned.
I am stunned.
I almost fired. I almost hired a lawyer over it, but I'm glad I didn't. I really think that one person who called, I don't know if they want me to say their name, who was a state rep, could have like pulled a lot of strings in that way, because that was very nice. That person called for me. So thank you so much to anyone who called. I'm not going to try to get in fights with the stupid judges there, but are not judges. They're stupid too, but I meant the stupid guards at the... I mean, I haven't had any problems till that night, but yeah.
The order followers?
Yeah, I got
that's all they are, just the NPCs playing in the game.
He could not believe that I wouldn't follow his stupid order or just like agree with him that he was right when he was wrong, really. So I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but to anybody who is sad about that, I'm now able to visit Ian again, and he got apologized to. So that's hilarious. That never happened.
Well, do I get to get out of my cell early? No. So, sorry, man who sits in a cell.
Well, I think that's awesome. So
I think it's funny. I admit, I'm chuckling. So here's my thought on Sam Bankman-Fried. The America is bloodthirsty. It's a bloodthirsty place. We have a culture of hang 'em high, hang 'em from the highest tree, and it hasn't changed. Sam Bankman-Fried is a fraud. And my heart does not bleed for Sam Bankman-Fried and what happened to him. I kind of feel bad for his parents, but I don't know them. I'm just kind of feel like a parent would feel in this circumstance. But what is clear to me is that the United States' judicial system is there to prop up the United States. It is not there to make people whole. And I am going to demonstrate that with this particular case. If they cared about the victims, and there were lots of them, they would have sat down with Fried and said, "Hey, bud, so looks like we got you. You know you're going to lose, right?" And he go, "Yeah. So how much money can you come up with to make everybody as whole as possible? Because you know this guy's socked away billions."
Maybe.
When he's done with his sentence, which will likely be 10, 12 years, from what I've read about federal charges. They have an 85% rule, but they also get some kind of FTC good time or something. I don't know how it works. But call it 10 or 12 years, he'd do. And then, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Would you do 10 years in prison? Would you do 12 years in prison? Let's do the outside. Would you do 15 years in prison for $100 million?
Nope. No. Yeah, no.
Well, I wouldn't, but if I think about all the things I accomplished, or yes, if I was somebody, you know, I in fact was in prison from the time that I was 18 to the time that I was 28, and I consider it to be some of the most valuable time that I've spent. I'm well-read. You can't find too many old novels that I don't know. I learned Spanish. I did all kinds of things in there. I didn't get a social disease. I didn't waste my 20s. I didn't bomb out of college. I didn't have crappy credit at 28. I was a clean slate when I walked out at 28. And I didn't get $100 million. This guy is going to walk out after 10 or 12 or 15 years with some tremendous amount of money. And yeah, sure, libertarians are not likely to trade that. But
and there's a real good chance.
A lot of people should consider it.
There's a real good chance, too, that he's going to do an appeal and he'll get it overthrown or tremendously reduced at appeal and nobody
sure,
will.
Sure. And won't we'll never hear.
Right. They won't report on it.
Well, yep. You guys don't understand. If you had to go to prison, it would be with a bunch of men. I'd have to be there with a bunch of women. So no way. Make it $500 million.
I'm not anti-woman.
No, I'm not anti-woman. I don't know.
Everything I've heard about women's prisons are they worse.
Yeah, it sounds worse.
I have never been in a women's prison.
I think anybody can understand that a jail filled with women sucks more than a jail filled with men.
Yeah, I definitely, when I was in the hay business, in the horse business, I had three customers that were women that did time in prison. Mm. One of them was, she like basically wrote a whole bunch of like bad checks on like closed bank accounts, you know, stacked them all up, and she did couple years in like a county jail in Massachusetts. And I can't talk about the stories that she told me, you know, what would go on there. She also had a little bit of a opiate issue, and she was able to get opiates just fine. She just had to do favors to prison guards, and she was fine with that when she was there.
It just sounds a lot worse. Like, I've heard stuff about, like, there not being adequate stuff when you're, like, on your period, and then, like, women are just going to be, like, nasty and fighting. No thanks. But this is what the Wall Street Journal says.
Well, I just want to make sure that I kind of get this out. Is this that Sam Bankman-Fried has money. Mm-hmm. And that money could be traded for the time that they're giving him. The time won't do the victims any good. The money would. And I mean, clearly the politicians aren't being asked to give their money the money back that was donated to them. Nobody's being talked to about this stuff.
True.
If you gave Sam Bankman-Fried, all right, buddy, you got 2 months. And we'll take off for every $100 million you return to your customers, we'll take a year off your prison sentence or whatever. You know, like I'm just trying to say, like, this is how deals are made. These people aren't – these bureaucrats – are not deal makers, and they don't care about you, because that's really important. Is if you got ripped off, and somebody listening to me right now did, and I'm sorry for you. I know it wasn't your fault, but if you got ripped off, they're not going to do anything to get you, make you whole. And they never were.
I wonder what they mean by paying back victims. Then, if they're not going to pay back people who were, you know, they had money and FTX.
They'll take everything they got from him, and they tried to get as much as they could get from him. But they didn't get anywhere near close. This is cryptocurrency. Ladies and gentlemen, this is cryptocurrency. If Sam Bankman-Fried did one thing, remembered one phrase in his mind, the quick brown rabbit beat the, you know, lazy red fox or whatever, right? Like, he had one phrase that he remembered, and that's on some true crypt file on some thumb drive someplace, and it's just full of cryptocurrency. I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be the smallest thumb drive in the world, and it could have 100 million bitcoins on it. Or I guess it couldn't have it because there's only 21 million. It could have a million bitcoins on it, and there's, you know, nothing they could do to get it.
And it don't even
they just couldn't get it.
It don't even have to be a thumb drive. It could just be on a wallet somewhere, and you just know the phrase, and you could just import it.
Yep.
You know,
you
so
could do all that.
All you got to do is remember it.
And so when they just say, we're going to get that little mop-headed Jew boy, we're going to get him, right? Well, congratulations, you got him. But did he get you? Because when he walks out and he's a rich man, there's a lot of people give a lot more of their life than 10 or 12 years for a lot less money than Sam Bankman-Fried will for this.
Well, he got 25 years. He was sentenced.
It's 25 years sentence.
Uh huh.
But you know, we've got co-hosts who are in prison right now in the federal system. I just spoke with Aria yesterday via email. I haven't spoken to her in real life yet, and she's, you know, tried to show me how the calculations worked. And essentially, the answer is somewhere like you do like 55% of your time, from what I could tell. And that seems to be pretty accurate, judging by the rest of the situations throughout the United States. So 25 years, 55%, that says 12, 13, 14 years. That's if he's in good behavior. He could, I don't know, he could start running a little financial gang in the prison and then getting himself in trouble. But yeah, financial guys, they generally go to pretty soft places, and they generally don't get themselves in much trouble.
Hmm. And apparently he's autistic, so I doubt he's going to be like the cult leader of the gang. Maybe he would join one because he's easily influenced because he's autistic. allegedly.
People would argue that your boyfriend was leading a cult in Keene, New Hampshire as an autist. So.
That's funny.
Yeah. I should say husband.
The ultimate cult that I'm seeing happen is these radical leftists that are just really into like the child chopping and are like so objecting to the investigating of anything. They don't want you investigating DCYF. They don't want you to investigate whether this, you know, boat that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore, you know, could have had been a cyber attack or something like that.
Or done on
they
purpose.
They don't want any of this investigation on. They're like cockroaches. They don't like the light being shined on them.
Hmm. Well, it says that before he was sentenced, Sam Bankman-Fried told the judge that he was haunted every day by what he had thrown away. I'm sorry about what happened at every stage, the FTX founder, who wore tan jail garb, said during his 20-minute statement. At the end of the day, I failed everyone I cared about. Federal prosecutors say Bankman-Fried used other people's money to fund his lavish lifestyle, making risky investments and pursue his political agenda. At the peak of his influence, Bankman-Fried was a prominent voice for bringing greater regulation to crypto and vowed to use his wealth to benefit society. FTX's shocking downfall hardened the attitudes of politicians in Washington toward crypto and contributed to a lengthy slump in the price of Bitcoin and other digital currencies. I also think that it had something to do with Ian's, not just his sentence, but the fact that the jury found him guilty on everything because his arrest was being put all over the news during the jury's deliberation, and the judge stopped all proceedings in Ian's case, Ian Freeman versus the United States, who is in prison for 8 years for selling cryptocurrency and not actually defrauding anyone. The judge stopped the proceedings to say, by the way, if you see this on TV about this Sam Bankman-Fried, just know this has nothing to do with Ian Freeman's case. You are not to associate the two things in your mind. And it was like, why did you bring attention to it then? They might have never seen it. I mean, like, that's just so weird. I feel like that never has happened. I don't know that it's never happened, but I've never heard of that happening where the judge in a case is like, by the way, jury, you're going to go home and see this on TV. You don't know that they're going to freaking watch the news. They've been sitting around watching boring stuff all day. They might go home and sleep.
Well, I think that New Hampshire was a gamble to start with, that it could have gone one of two ways, which is to say we could have got a free stater on that jury, and that free stater could have said, nope, I'm not convicting because there was no victim, no crime, or you know whatever the situation was. And at the same time, we could have got, and what I think we did get, was a whole bunch of anti-free staters, people who were just haters, because they would have found Ian Freeman guilty if he'd have been accused of Jimmy Hoffa's murder. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy died before Ian was born or something. I don't know. But, you know, it did, like, there was no evidence presented for several of the charges. These people did not understand the difference between, you know, tax avoidance strategies, a tax burden, and tax evasion. They didn't know, but they just found him guilty of everything. They found him guilty of so many things, the judge had to go in and claw something back and said, well, that didn't count. Now, that's a rarity, and it shows that, well, there was something wrong with the jury. The jury was corrupted in some way.
Like corrupted as in stupid?
I can't say what the deal was. I believe that fundamentally Sisti, that's Ian's lawyer, Mark Sisti, didn't run the right case for the right jury. Now, you know, I'm not saying that. I think he bet that giving the jury, letting them home for Christmas without, you know, any kind of, you know, having to come back was going to give them some kind of gratitude. You know, it was going to make them feel gracious towards Ian. And that clearly didn't work. And what he did instead was basically the prosecution laid out a case over the course of 2 weeks. Sisti should have put a defense out over 2 weeks and used that time to say, hey, look, here's the narrative. This is what happened as we see it. But instead of giving the jury a narrative, what he said was, hey, They didn't prove their case. And they didn't.
They didn't.
And that's true. But, you know, from what I know from watching Perry Mason is that the jury has to have a story. And they just couldn't see these millions of dollars passing through and that sort of thing and not see Ian as a crook. And they needed a piece of the puzzle that they were never given. And that was that Ian was an early adopter of cryptocurrency and that he had many, many Bitcoins before he ever started this, that he was a firm believer in cryptocurrency, that the Shire Free Church is a real church with a real set of, a creed, essentially. And, you know, they didn't ever got any information like that.
Yeah,
it just looked like fake churches, millions of dollars.
And the other thing that Sissy said about the tax was he was just like, oh, well, no one wants to pay taxes. Who wants to pay taxes? That makes it sound like he's guilty and needed to pay taxes, but didn't want to. That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anyways, so we've been through something similar with that this guy FTX went through with the federal government, except the difference is that he actually defrauded people. The difference is that he actually took people's money and did something different than what he told them he was going to do with their money. And then they lost a lot of it. And I'm not really I don't think jail really fixes anything. So I might not sound sad about him going to jail, but I don't necessarily think it fixes anything at all. All it does is take away from the economy, honestly.
Right. I think that he should sentence him to 25 years. But a smart judge would have sat down with him and said, hey, I'm going to call the defendant into my chambers here. Look, buddy, before I pass down this sentence, I just want you to know I've decided to give you 25 years. Now, what I'll also do is for every, smart judge, whatever. I mean, I'm just talking on the radio, doing live radio, haven't had a chance to think about this, haven't written anything down. But $100 million, $50 million, whatever it is, if he can get more and more money returned to these victims of their money, then he's doing a service for the people he's actually supposed to be serving. Because here, all he's doing is he's the judge who gave Sam Bankman-Fried 25 years.
Yeah.
And he's made the prosecutors look good. And the United States government looks like it's doing something. But I've lived in a lot of countries and I've seen people get charges for a lot of different crimes in a lot of different places. And what I can say is the United States hands out the biggest sentences.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know what percentage of their time they do in other places, because if the judge said that Sam Bankman-Fried got 13 years and he actually did 13 years, that would be a different statement. But at this point, he's saying he's going to do 25 and he's likely to do 13, maybe even less.
And the American Department of Justice is not about justice. It's not about restorative justice. It's not about making the victims whole, because most of the time there isn't even a victim. I would think that probably 85% of the people that are in prison in the federal system, from what I understand, are there for victimless crimes like Ian. And the thing is it's just like with child support and family court. The whole thing with the family court system, and this is in every state, is they're making the decisions on who pays child support not based on what's best for the children or the families, but what gives the state the maximum amount of financial contributions from the Social Security Administration, because the Social Security Administration matches dollar for dollar every dollar of child support that the state collects. The Social Security Administration takes money out of Social Security, which is, you know, the reason it's going broke. They forked out just under their Title IV D program or E program, something like $492 million in 2021 was one of the numbers I saw. This is to all the judicial pension funds of the state. And so there is no incentive for these guys to do the correct thing in any of these things with these judges. And the thing is, with all these so-called courts, they're actually not really courts. They're just banks. They're just, creating bonds. They're, selling these bonds and trading these bonds on these international trade markets. The New York Depository Trust is involved in this. There's all kinds of malarkey going on that, very few people are aware of, because the system is totally rigged. And we all know that Freud's going to be in a very, or Freed is going to be in a very cushy prison somewhere, you know, enjoying life. You know, he's going to get some kind of great deal. All these guys do that, you know.
Are rich, yeah. Rich people actually get, like, right. nicer cells and stuff, apparently. Well, I don't know how true that is. Do you know if that's true, Mark? I've heard that from Ian.
What?
That rich people can, like, really rich people.
The courts and other.
No, that rich people, really rich people can actually get, like, nicer cells with, like, nicer beds and stuff.
So, influence matters. And yes, you can get, yes. But you get it for a variety of different reasons. So let me just talk about what my experience is in this circumstance. All these things are true, but, you know, they may not be true the reason that you think it is. So, for instance, let's say you're in prison and everybody's got different kinds of mattresses, right? Like some guys, because they come in at different times. You know, they're not all from the same manufacturer and they're mm-hmm. not all produced the same way.
Weird, yeah.
So if you, for whatever reason, you see a guy who's like, oh, man, I got the best mattress. And you're like, oh, yeah, that is a nice mattress. And that guy doesn't get any commissary and nobody sends him any money, but he has a nice mattress. Man, $10 would be valuable to that guy, right? So you buy his mattress for $10.
Hmm.
If he doesn't want to sell for $10, you buy it for
$20. No, you know? I didn't just mean the mattress itself. Like, I've heard that there are rich people that get nicer cells and everything. Like, they just, like, can pay to be in a better position
right.
because they're rich.
Well, you know, ultimately, I got the nicest. I got whatever cell I wanted.
Why?
Because I was there. I was there the longest, and I had a lot of influence.
So
yes, money will buy you influence, and people will do things for you for money. Sure, you'll get the nicest cell. Now, will you get moved to a better prison? Probably. You know, you can do that. Sure, it depends on. It's basically just all about greasing wheels. Money will get you attention, and attention will get you better service. Now, I don't think you're not going to be sitting in there with a gold plated toilet bowl and Mm-mm. a satellite TV, but you'll get a few things better.
Well, one thing that I know for sure that we're all saying here is that even though people believe that the justice system is out there to make everybody safer and make our lives better, nothing is the way it seems to be in legal land. And really, they're just there to protect the United States Corporation. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
Talk Live, it's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Mark Edge, remotely from Florida.
And let's just go right to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Skeeter from California. Skeeter, what's on your mind?
Hello, my fellow U.S. federal citizens. It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist. Hey, Jay, isn't it nice to be in a first-world democracy where we can shop at Whole Foods and complain about cancer-causing pesticides that increase crop production?
This is not a first-world democracy. It's a Republican form of government. It's what it's supposed to be anyways. What makes you think it's a democracy?
Any definition of first-world democracy, even just first-world, we're at the top of that.
Jay doesn't shop at Whole Foods, so... There's your first.
That's all garbage there anyway. It's all greenwash, corporate nonsense.
Yeah, I'm just saying you guys are in a first world situation complaining about pesticides that increase crop production by at least double. And you're in a privileged position. If you are on your own deserted island,
we don't need
free.
People to double their crop
first off,
by double. We just don't need that.
The commercial farming.
You're so wealthy, Bonnie. You got.
All right, so let other people talk, please.
So this government subsidized farming method that you're talking about is actually extremely, extremely expensive. It is one of the greatest reasons we have such a healthcare epidemic. The fact that all the seed oils are subsidized, they're putting contaminated biosolids on tons of the farm ground, and this is all mostly primarily happening with big subsidized farms. Like this radioactive stuff that it comes from Simplot that the guy was talking about is all, I am sure, due to a government grant, a government subsidy to, you know, disperse this stuff and make it happen. Just like with the food, with the the waste solids, or the solid waste, whatever they're called, that are coming from the water treatment plants, that is basically a distilled cocktail of, you know, all of the nasty synthetic chemicals that don't break down and never go away. That are put into your city treatment centers from the battery making factory, and you know, the place, like one of the places in Michigan was that would make chrome car parts. There was like a chrome bumpers and chrome knobs and stuff, whatever chrome things for your car.
From Detroit, back when they were like a car place.
Somewhere there's still a place doing this chroming, and they discharge all their water into the waste treatment thing, and they have these carbon filters. They're supposed to be, you know, dealing with it, but, you know, they don't get changed and stuff and this, that, you know, thing. And they just get fined by the EPA, but the fines are cheaper than actually dealing with the waste, and you just send it and, you know, put it on farmland.
Does that have anything to do with why Flint, Michigan is so bad?
Flint, Michigan has to do with lead in the water, I believe. And
lead pipes, right?
From the lead pipes or something, yeah. Yep. And the thing is when you start taking corporate farmland and having big, massive corporate factory farms on... It just, everything is extremely expensive. You have to subsidize the heck out of it. That's the only reason that we have like 9 slaughterhouses that are pretty much doing all of the, most of the butchering in the country, but they're doing like, you know, 10,000 cows a day or something crazy, or 20,000 hogs a day. The numbers are just
staggering.
They're hard to imagine, to where like 75 years ago in this country, there was something like 10,000 slaughterhouses. And they, or even 100,000, there's slaughterhouses in every single neighborhood. I'm sure within a mile of here, there was a couple of slaughterhouses 75 years ago in Keene. I know the little town I grew up in, Palmer, Massachusetts, had 4 villages. And in like 1962 or something, there was like something like 35 registered slaughterhouses within the town of Palmer. Well, and what it was quite literally like somebody's 2-car garage off the side of their house was the butcher operation. And, you know, and if you wanted to have your pig done by a Portuguese guy or an Italian guy or a Polish guy, you just picked whatever, you know, neighborhood you wanted to bring your meat to get processed, and you got it done. And usually you went to a little livestock auction and bought it, or you had a farmer raise it if you lived in town, or you raised it yourself. So, but this whole thing is just, you know...
We could definitely live without this.
We don't need corporate farming.
Corporations, yeah.
Just want to put one thing in about the Portuguese and Italian and whatever farmers, is that every ethnicity had its own little way of doing things. And so if you wanted it like mom would make it, you'd get it like it was made in the old country. So the Portuguese guys like suckling pigs, and the Italian guys like their smoked stuff, and you know, the Spanish are known for their hog legs and all that. So well, every place, but everybody wants something different.
Nice. Yeah, I just heard a story about this guy in Michigan, actually, who, well, I guess he lives in Chicago, but he'll like travel to go meet with you and make meatballs out of your animals in the Polish way that his like ancestors would, because he's trying to preserve it. He's trying to preserve the way that his ancestors did meat. So
I wonder if I could get him to come to my homeschool co-op and we butcher our pigs and we'll do it the Polish way. That's what I'd really like to do. I'd really like to. There's actually a guy who's Jamaican that I've talked to a little bit, and he has told me that if I had some goats to butcher, that he would love to come and donate his time. And he has, and this guy's in Connecticut. He would drive like 3 hours to come here and do this.
Wow!
But he's this old Jamaican dude, and he does butchers the goat. And he does makes it a lot of fun for the kids, and he lets the kids like help out and do it. And he's been doing this for years. The guy's like in his 70s now, so I'm going to see if we can do. But he and I watched him do it like 15 years ago with a homeschool co-op group in Summers, Connecticut.
Does this include like watching the goat die?
The whole nine yards. Yep.
Oh wow.
And actually, when this guy kills the goat, like the goat just basically just blinks his eye and bleeds out.
Hmm.
Doesn't scream, doesn't when he
that's so nice.
He does it and he says like a prayer. Aww. And he says the prayer and then he explains the prayer as he's like saying it to the kids, and you know why it's important, and you know this is how you value the life of the animal.
Yeah.
But he did it in a really like that goat did not feel any pain. It didn't even know what was going on. It just, you know, bled out. There was no screaming or nothing.
Whoa.
Really yeah, the guys that are good at it can do that. Skeeter?
Oh, I already hung up on Skeeter. He's being annoying.
Good. I have a question.
Okay.
So, once again has come up this question for me, and this is a broader topic. I don't want this brushed across. This is really important to me. I don't get it. I don't understand. I want to know how much to dip to tip somebody on DoorDash. Since, COVID-19, essentially, this DoorDash and Uber Eats they've gotten huge. And people were getting their food delivered during this time frame. And now they've just, you know, continued doing that. I have never in my life ordered DoorDash. I've never ordered Uber Eats. I've never ordered even those frozen meals you can get, like Factor and stuff like that, that you can get and then put in your and heat up or anything like that.
Yeah.
I buy my food in the form of meat and produce at the grocery store, and I make meals with it. And I probably make too much, and I probably eat too much. But you know, all my stuff is from there, and I get some from the CSA and things like that too. So this tipping culture kind of exists just sort of peripherally. I don't understand, you know, you go and you get somebody to make pour a cup of coffee for you, and you're supposed to give them how much? Well, the person who got the mocha latte frappe, whatever, just gave them $3. And it's like, wow. What's going on there? But, you know, in my case, they just poured it. Well, there was always the bartenders that would open a Michelob Light for me and hand it across. And then how much do you give them? Well, I had a friend who said, you always give them $1. That way you always get served first. I'm like, okay. And servers, when I was a kid, it was 15% on the untaxed total. Well, now what is it? Because people are saying like 20% on the tax total, maybe even more than that. Somebody asked on Twitter today, how much do you give somebody? Did I tip them too much with $10? And I looked it up online, and Reddit has all kinds of opinions as to what this is going. And Bonnie, I know you were a DoorDasher, and I want you to explain, what do you get paid besides the tip?
It's hard for me to remember, first of all. I only did Postmates and Uber Eats, and honestly, it's just like hard for me to remember anything before the FBI like banged down my door and tried to make me go outside naked and like specific things like that. Seriously, I don't remember like the dollars I got paid, but I know that I would not be doing it without the tips. It wasn't like, oh, that's worth it. But the thing is, neither are restaurant people, but I still think they deserve less tips than people who drive across the city and drive to your house and bring you your food just because you didn't want to leave the house. Like, that is doing a lot more than filling up your coffee cup. That's doing a lot more than going up to the hot plate and grabbing it and bringing it to your table and then filling up your water. That is doing a lot more than just a waitress in a restaurant. And, like, people tip them more. It makes no sense. Well, at least in San Antonio, people are just cheap or fat or something there.
Well, I don't know. So for one, it doesn't matter what somebody else is making when they do a thing. What matters is me tipping the person that I'm tipping. Is I want to tip the right amount. And American tipping culture is completely insane.
Well, why don't you think about this? Sorry. Okay. As far as if you're asking me how much I think somebody should get paid for doing an Uber Eats thing. If you didn't want to leave your house.
Well, no. What I actually asked you was how much did you get paid to do Uber Eats so that I could figure that in? Because
like
I know that the server gets $2.30 an hour or something like that. So they make all of their money based on tips.
Yeah. Almost like that. It's almost that bad. Like I would do one thing. It would always take me about like 45 minutes for a fast one or an hour for a long one because you drive from wherever you are to a restaurant.
Yep.
Wait at the restaurant, get the food. Sometimes you actually have to order it, then you wait even longer, and that can make it over an hour. You get the food, you drive to their house, you find the stupid number on their door, you go and you bring it to them. And I'm like saying, like a big one would be like $10. Like it'd be like, ooh, this one's going to pay me $10. And
so they tell you what the tip is before you go?
No, that is the amount that you get paid. But like normal ones are like $4 to $5.
So do they bid on it?
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know why.
How
am I supposed to know? Like, it will just pop up on my phone and be like, "Do you want to take this? Do you want to go drive really far for like $10? Maybe I do that if I don't mind where it's going to make me end up. Or do you want to do like one that might be quicker and only get $4, but also risk only getting $4 and then like just not tipping you or it just taking longer than you think anyway? And it's always going to be like, I don't know if it's less than the stupid waitress comparison. I just don't think that's the same job. Like how?
Oh, I agree. I think you make a very strong point that waitresses don't do as much for the money as a Uber Eats driver, and a waitress is working four tables at once, so has a larger opportunity to earn. Whereas an Uber, it sounds like the DoorDash people are only doing one thing at a time. It sounds like. Now, so you can call in and at 603-283-6160 and tell us your experience in ordering DoorDash. But it sounds like somebody, they get charged different amounts for different deliveries, and maybe they can even raise the amounts so that, you know, the people pay attention to them. But some of that money goes to the company, and then some of that money goes to the driver. And then anything that you get tipped afterwards is just goes to the driver, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tip.
So,
go ahead.
My mom does Uber Eats or Grubhub or one of them. Actually, I know another guy locally that does the same thing. And they both tell me that if there was no tippage involved, it definitely would not be worth doing.
Right.
Now, my mom, she does it 7 days a week for a couple hours a day during prime time. And she has told me that she has actually rejected deliveries because they're basically people that like basically do a very little tip or you know, no tip. There are some people who won't even tip. And definitely if you are someone who, for example, is a good tipper, she will always say yes if, you know, she recognizes it's, you know, the same delivery. And I don't know how that mechanism works. I've never, you know, I don't know if you. I assume that you see the address of where it's going, and then some of them you can recognize. And there's probably a thing in the app if you've been there before, it lets you know, or something.
I haven't done it in forever, so things might have changed. But back when I was doing it, it would tell you where to go for the restaurant before you accepted it, but it wouldn't tell you where the customer was until you picked up the food, and therefore you could be like, "Wow, this is taking me forever away, away from all the restaurants." It's adding a whole other hour of not making money.
So definitely the app that she uses, because a lot of times I'll talk to her when she'll be out doing these things. She'll say, "Oh, I'm not doing that one. That guy's cheap. I'm not doing that one. That one's way too far away."
Nice. I would love that. If that's one of the ones I did and it's changed, that's awesome.
And it's not Uber Eats because she hasn't done that one in a while. But she does go over to Southern California in sort of a wealthy area, like once a month. My little brother lives down there, and she goes over there, and she actually does quite well doing the Uber Eats in Southern or whatever. I don't know which one she's doing. In Southern California, and it's kind of a neighborhood where they tip really well. But here's a problem with all of that takeout food. Cornell University, I think in 2021, did a study on all of the blood samples that came in for microplastics. And the microplastic, 72% of these blood samples that came through Cornell University had alarming rates of microplastics. Now, I don't know what alarming means, but they had plastic in the people's blood, 72% of it. And they said it was plastics, microplastics, that were from the food containers that the hot delivery stuff is delivered in. And then
styrofoam,
there's these cardboard ones that are lined in some kind of plastic on the inside so they don't get all soggy and fall apart. But, like, you know, and all that food, like, that is the bottom of the barrel food. Got to be the most toxic food that you could eat is whatever Uber Eats is bringing you or any of those, because it's all coming from garbage, fast food. And as far as I'm concerned, all restaurant food is basically no good because you can't verify it.
Yeah, and that's how I feel a lot recently, too. I haven't been even eating at Social Sundays, which is an event we'll do here in Keene. Like, libertarians will meet up at a restaurant. It's not a bad restaurant or anything like that. It's just I don't even order food anymore. I just order a drink and sit with my friends.
My wife and I went out to breakfast this morning, and the place that we went to, it's called Tucker's. It's here in Concord, New Hampshire. It's probably the best, highest quality breakfast place you can go to. And so I say to the waitress, I'm like, hey, I want to get this particular thing, but I don't want any sauces or I don't want any of whatever sauce it has on it because it probably has seed oils in it. She goes, I'll check if it has seed oils. So she comes back with my meal with no sauce on it. And she goes, this has mayonnaise in it also. So I told them not to put the mayonnaise on it. And I forget whatever the topping is that they put on it. But she goes, it had palm oil. So instead of coming back here and asking you about it, I just told them to take it all off. Would you like any of the stuff on the side? Nope, that's fine. I don't need, I get a salad. I don't get any dressing on it or anything. It's got, it's all seed oils.
I don't even trust the balsamic vinegar at places. It's like, that's just supposed to be vinegar and
olive oil,
but I don't trust that. It's probably canola oil.
You can't trust the olive oil anywhere.
Yeah, and whenever I buy olive oil, I make sure it has this like signal on it, symbol on it that says something about California. I don't remember what the group is, but they make sure that it's not canola oil. What were you gonna say, Mark?
I was just thinking about a friend of mine who every November goes to Italy. Near Naples. I've got the town wrong. Near Florence, excuse me. And he works for 6 weeks at an olive farm, and he comes back with a suitcase full of these delicious olive oil containers. And I mean, it's just amazing. They taste so different than what you get in the store. I would think you'd be able to sort of track down any given, if you find a specialty store that sells specialty olive oils, you can probably call the farm and ask them some questions. There are people out there that are making good products, but Jay's right. It's hard to find them.
They're still busting people in Vermont at farm stands for putting high fructose corn syrup in their maple syrup. I mean, I've read articles about this like a year and a half ago.
This is what everybody who buys that Green Mountain Swill or that maple leaf crap gets. You buy White Mountain maple syrup and you'll get the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you just go buy maple syrup from a guy who's making maple syrup. Problem is, right. you can't do that in Florida.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, when people come down, they bring me maple syrup.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I haven't had a pancake. I don't eat a lot of pancakes, admittedly, but I haven't had a pancake without New Hampshire maple syrup in 10 years.
Well, I can tell you, next time we go to Mexico, we are bringing maple syrup with us because everybody was like, you're from New Hampshire. You should have brought maple syrup.
Whenever I travel, I always keep either one of those tiny little containers. I don't know what the size is. Maybe it's 2 ounces, 3 ounces of maple syrup. I keep, a little stash of those, maybe 5-6 of those. Or I have found a local honey producer here in Sarasota, Florida, who picks a bunch of developmentally disabled kids, and you know, they go out and they get the honey and they sell it and all that stuff. So I pay too much for it, but you know, it's the good stuff.
Hmm. Oh, and speaking of tips, another thing I love to do, and I did this morning, is the waitress comes to the table and she's like, "Sir, are you all set? Would you like me to bring you change?" And I says, "Nope, I don't need any change. You are all set. But I just wanted to let you know that I do not tip." Hmm. And then the smile just kind of fades off their face as I say that. And then I say, "But what I do is I give a gift, because a tip is taxable and this gift is not taxable. So please put this money in your pocket. Do not feed the parasite. Taxation is theft."
I hope they listen to that, because I wonder how many are just like, and then they just add it in, you know, go report it. No, hopefully they're all just like under reporting, like most restaurant people, I think.
Oh, they are. But it's a little bit of tax advice, which I, yeah, from what I can tell, is vetted.
And it is a, you know, like kind of activism, just like getting the attitude out there.
I do agree that that gifts are not taxable, but that tips are. I think this is reasonably sound advice. I will say, however, that a gift is a gift and a tip is the tip, and what looks like a tip is a tip, right, as far as the government's concerned. So it kind of it gives them a little – it's a little libertarian talking point. I think it's a great thing to do. And, you know, nothing wrong with giving a waitress an emotional roller coaster, right?
Tip your server in cash, because it is a hate crime to tip your server on their receipt if you pay with a card. So if you pay with a card, at least give them some cash.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. What do you think about the tipping argument? 603-283-6160. Call in and let us know. More coming up.
Hey, you are going to love the movie Victimless Crime Spree. It's hilarious, heartwarming, and carries a ton of inspiring freedom messages. Feeling down about the lack of liberty in your life? You need to put on this film with some friends and have a good laugh. It's a true story about me and my friends in New Hampshire living free, singing, dancing, and getting arrested. Of course, it's all on video, and the bad guys, the cops, judges, bailiffs, and sheriffs, they all play their part like it's out of a movie or something. You would think we scripted the whole thing, but it's real life. Go ahead and have a watch, and if it's been a while, have another look. I guarantee you'll notice things now that you didn't notice before. And the best part is that you're going to walk away feeling a renewed sense of your own power. You are the master of your destiny, and you will be free in your lifetime. Victimless Crime Spree.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can call in with whatever's on your mind, whatever opinion you have. 603-283-6160 is the phone number, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark, coming to you from Florida.
And Mark, did you have anything else you wanted to ask or say about the tax or tip question?
Tips. The more I travel, the less I like American culture when it comes to tipping. I don't want to rip anybody off. I don't want to make anybody work for me for less than they should. But as far as I'm concerned, tipping sucks. That every business should pay its employees what they should be paid. That currently, some servers get more money than they deserve. Just ask the cooks. You know, the guy who is back there making the food, he doesn't get anything for tips. Some restaurants he does, but very few that I've seen. Whereas the person who takes it from the heat lamp to your table and then refills your water glass, that person gets a big old tip. And sometimes they're making $50, $60 an hour, you know, and even more than that. So we just have this weird way of distributing labor. And then everybody's made to feel inadequate surrounding it. Like, you're just not adequate unless you're throwing money away. Because I know the answer when it comes to what should I tip. As much as possible, you cheapskate white bastard. Right? Like, that's the answer. And I don't, like, that's not good enough for me. I just want to know. Now, in the case of DoorDash, I'm asking so that my listeners know. Because I've, you know, I have not been convinced by this conversation, not that I've asked to be, that I should begin using DoorDash. And so I probably won't. But, you know, I mean, people ask these questions. I don't know about tips. Every once in a while I go to Starbucks, right? I would prefer to get my coffee from places that I'm sure doesn't have, isn't produced, you know, with leaded gas or anything like that. But that's becoming less and less common as time goes by. I'm relatively confident that I'm doing okay by having a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I know I'm going to pay more than I would normally, but, you know, whatever. And then I don't know what to tip, but, you know, I throw a dollar in there, whatever. You know, it's a $5 cup of coffee, and I throw a dollar in, I paid six, or maybe it was four, I don't know. So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't, you guys don't go out much either, so you're not dealing with the, you know, the customer side of all of this. I was just thinking we might be able to give the listeners some information about how to best handle it. Because it seems like our culture is moving towards more tips, not fewer. And I'm wondering about, when's the day that I have to tip the state trooper for giving me a ticket?
Oh, that's a way better deal. Because in Mexico, that's all you do. And you're done. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to do anything. You just give these guys some pesos and they go on their way. And that would be way better here, but be way less of a control mechanism for all the slaves.
Well, one thing I do know is that different places in America even tip better and worse than others. And I don't really know why it is. I haven't figured that out. For some reason, New England...
Give me an example.
New England, Uber Eats, they'll be like, you know what, $20 for something that did not even really warrant $20 tip. And people in San Antonio, like, half of them just don't tip. Half of them tip, like, a dollar. And then the rest, like, it's like, I was like, okay, I made it enough to make it worth it, finally, at the end of the day, in San Antonio, like, every day. And then when I came up here, I was just, like, doing a door-knocking job, but on the weekends or, you know, whatever day I wasn't working, I would go into, like, Portland, Maine when I was in Maine, or I'd go in Manchester when I was in New Hampshire and do Uber Eats for just, like, a couple hours and be like, I made $200. That's pretty cool. All my other coworkers were jealous of me.
One of my friends, he still does one of the delivery, one of those things, and he loves doing it during snowstorms. He's got a pretty nice all-wheel drive car with studded snow tires. And so he gets paid quite well, I guess. I don't know if the rates are better or they're tipped better, but he... Like, when it's snowing like crazy, he just goes and does it. And generally, when it's snowing, it's like there's one place in, you know, that's, you know, are few places that are doing delivery because there's very few delivery drivers. So, like, a lot of places will just close. And he's able to just do very well, from what I understand, during snowstorms.
That's awesome. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, if you were able to, you know, consolidate the restaurants you went to, then I think you'd be a lot better off because you could carry two or three bags of food to different locations.
Oh, sometimes they do, like, put two orders together. If you're, like, already on the way to a restaurant, they'll sometimes give you another one. Like, actually give it to you instead of, like, asking you. And that was weird. But, and, I mean, like, that might have changed since.
Yeah, he did tell me that he was able to stack multiple orders, especially during snowstorms. But it's very hard to come up, get that opportunity when it's not a snowstorm because there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of people just will not drive in the snow.
Yeah. And I had a friend that also did Uber Eats at the same time as me, and we'd always be on the phone talking while doing it, like, separately. And he was always like, oh, I'm doing so good right now because of the snowstorm. And I would be like, yeah, I stopped because I'm or not snowstorm because this is San Antonio, rainstorm. And I'd be like, yeah, I stopped because it's scary. I don't want to be out there driving in the crazy rain and stuff. But during COVID, when there was like no one on the roads, I was doing so well. Gas costed nothing. And everybody was Uber Eatsing and Postmatesing, and there was no one on the road, so I could get places really fast. That was awesome for like at least.
What's
like,
a Postmate?
It's the same thing, except actually sometimes they'll send you to a store. Like I've picked up like batteries and stuff for people instead of just trash food. So is that all you want to know?
I can understand why people want to do it, but you know, it's like taking. And all the advice that the boomers and the Gen Xers give, like make your own coffee, don't go to Starbucks. DoorDash is that times 10.
Hmm.
You know, if you decide to go out to eat versus, I mean, like DoorDash costs more than going out to eat because you don't have to go out. And then you have this, the food given to you that's prepared, but you paid an enormous sum for it compared to, say, the grocery store where you can – I don't know about you, Jay, but surely you've paid for a steak when you go out, right?
Yeah. Once? I have actually bought a couple of steaks. I usually – I just usually get salad when I go out. But, yeah, I can't eat – I don't like eating steak or chicken at restaurants after doing my own. But, yes, I've paid for steak.
But in the past, I'm just talking about your, you know, you've been alive for almost 40 years, you know, you got some notion. I have personally never had a steak at a restaurant that is as good as, say, half of the steaks that I've made at home. Have I had some stinkers? Sure. You know, I mean, I didn't season it right. I didn't get it quite to the temperature I wanted to or anything like that. But, you know, 50-50, I'm getting it better than a steak that I prepared out. Yeah, sometimes I've had some amazing steaks out, but they're not worth the incredible cost difference. I paid $200 for a steak at certain steak restaurants. That's last night I went out for it was Jack's birthday, so his grandparents wanted to take him out, and there was this T-bone. It looked really marbled, and I'm like, I gotta have that. They were showing them in the fridge and everything, and I'm like, I gotta have that. That T-bone was $79.
Whoa.
It was supposedly 24 ounces at the start. And
where was this again? Sorry.
Some home. It's someplace in Sarasota, Florida.
Oh.
It's called Alpine Steakhouse.
Oh, okay.
Family owned and argued over for 50 years. And but they, you know, I mean, it was a good steak. They prepared it as well as they could. But I mean, you know, compared to buying a steak at the grocery store and making it home, I would still take the experience of making it at home. And it seems like a lot of people, this DoorDash thing's gotten very popular. A lot of people have glommed onto the idea is I just don't make food anymore. I don't know how.
Hmm.
And it's not that hard.
The thing about steak is like, I've never asked Jay Noon if he sells like steak cuts. Maybe I should. And I am not going to buy one from the grocery store because all that meat freaks me out. But every once in a while, even though it's the same like meat, I'll get one from Longhorns, and it's always good to me. I just get like the Flo's filet. They cook with butter there.
And I do sell steaks.
Okay, good. I will buy some from you sometime.
Yeah, I'm not saying that any of the steaks that I've gotten are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that I can make a steak as well at home for a fifth of the price easily. And that's what, you know, like you got to wonder if you're spending a fifth of the price, you're spending five times as much to have something delivered to you. So you, especially a steak, I don't, you know, there's some things that I wouldn't like deep fried fish and chips. I'm not going to make that at home, but you know, there's some things you can make at home, and it's significantly easier and less costly. And just remember, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to spend a fortune to eat well.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree a lot. Like, a lot of people think that it costs a whole bunch of money to eat healthily. Now, I don't eat that much food, but when Ian lived here, I fed him, and he eats a lot of food. Everybody knows that. And it's not like it's like crazy expensive. It's way more expensive to go out and eat. I don't understand people that think like, I can't afford to cook at home, so I go out to eat. Like, you're just wrong.
And the best food for you is the stuff that you can grow in your backyard. And especially if you have kids and you get those kids into the gardening and, you know, don't even let them get into tablets and internet devices. We'll get them into gardening. They'll have fun with it. Like this past summer, every morning my kids were outside, you know, grabbing stuff to make breakfast with, including the eggs. The eggs, the kale. When we had the blackberries coming out, we had awesome blackberries this past summer. But I've learned how to like fertilize them with, you know, my, you know, chicken litter, and I prune them, and my kids will prune them with me this year. And so, like, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, or as soon as my son could get outside, he's at the banging at the door, blackberries, and I open up the door, and there he's running out there in his diaper, and he's getting blackberries. And then when it starts getting to the point where he's going to reach inside, he's like taking thorns, you know, in his arm and in his back just to grab blackberries. And I could tell it hurts him a little bit, but he wants those blackberries.
Yeah, because they have thorns, right?
Yeah.
I think that this is great, and obviously I believe you should pay more for better foods for you. You know, I'm for that. What I wanted to address is the idea that prepared food is less costly than store-bought food. And the best case in point I can give is like 2008 during the financial downturn and all that. You know, if you don't have the equipment like a stove or a hot plate or things like that, it can make it difficult to make your own food. Stopping at McDonald's and hitting that dollar menu for a McDouble, I don't know if they still serve
these sandwiches.
It's like
$3 now. Yeah, they do, but they're like three or $4 or something.
Right. You know, the times are better, and, you know, McDonald's knows they can get more for it, and they do. But back then, you could buy two McDoubles for $2, and it was really hard to make a meal that would have as much as far as macronutrients, and macronutrients are fat, protein, and carbohydrates, as that would have. So I can understand why people would make what I would consider to be the lesser nutritional choice in those circumstances. But there are circumstances, I guess, or at least there were circumstances, I can't speak to it now, where it made sense to eat out rather than doing that. I had a roommate who she really had a difficult time making ends meet. And, you know, this is what she did to eat.
Well, we do have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, this is James from Miami. And how you doing, Mark? It's nice to hear you again, you know. But thank you. The thing I was calling about is this, because I heard you guys talking about food and all of this. And it turns out that yesterday night I was watching a rerun of this of the show, the InfoWars War Room with Owen Schroeder, and he was talking about how in Florida, DeSantis he did this thing where he made it illegal or something having to do with lab grown meat, which looks really nasty anyway. So he was talking about it, and that was something I wanted to bring up. If you guys knew anything about it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, DeSantis has been on a roll on this sort of thing, outlawing, you know, and getting the legislature on his side to outlaw certain things. I am of the opinion that if you want to eat lab-grown meat, you should be able to. However, I have suspicions about it. I think this is sort of the difference between conservatives and libertarians is that while I will not prevent you from trying lab-grown meat, I've had a Wonder Burger or whatever whatever it was called, the burgers made with you know, no meat. I just wanted to try it out, see. Beyond Burger, that thing. I've had one, and it tasted like real meat. It's been a while since I've had one, but I tried it.
Yeah, I agree. That's the libertarian way of doing things, right? It's better to inform people than to just make something illegal without telling people what's going on, you know?
The problem is, with all of this food that's making us sick, is it's highly, highly government subsidized. It's pushed. So what's essentially happening is the people who are choosing to feed their children very inexpensive calories are actually reducing the IQ of their children. And then they do that to their children, and they do that to their children. So this has been happening for generations now of your basically inner city welfare recipients. And it's not even just inner city welfare recipients. It's rural welfare recipients. We have a whole welfare Section 8 community in rural parts of New Hampshire where those people are, they're just eating the cheapest food they can come up with, the stuff that their, food stamps are going to buy them because, they got to buy their wheat, their alcohol, their weed, their, opiates, cigarettes. Whatever, cigarettes, or gamble, all these bunch of vices.
Imagine eating Dollar General food just because you wanted to smoke weed. I can't imagine that.
So, there's a lot of people, they got their, priorities.
Yeah.
But the thing is with the fake meat, what I see going on in the future is, so the real meat, even like the worst factory farmed real beef is, way better for you than these, than the seed oils and stuff, than like a lot of like the vegan and right. a lot of the fake things. And because beef is still beef, even though if it's like factory farmed. And I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of the food subsidies come away from beef, because beef is one of the most nutritionously dense things that we can eat. It is probably, you can live good off just beef. It has everything that we need for life. There are a lot of people who actually do diets where they'll only eat hamburger to like straighten themselves out. And I don't know what that's
called. It's hypoallergenic. So if you have a lot of allergies, beef is often prescribed as a thing you can eat.
It's just the best meat. Just well, so
and
good.
Cows are very, very clean animals. Mm-hmm. So they're first off, cows are fussy about what they eat. If you feed cows, if you give them a lot of good hay and they have a lot of good grass, they're only going to eat the best of the best, and they will leave tons of weeds behind and all kinds of stuff. So then you got to run sheep and goats in the pasture to clean the pasture up, or you got to go out there and mow it. And also what cows do is cows have two stomachs, and each stomach has two chambers. So they really digest food quite well, and they move a lot through them. And also cows can sweat. So they're able to eliminate toxins through their sweat. See, that's
do pigs sweat?
No.
Oh,
from what I understand, they do not sweat. And
then why do people say you're sweating like a pig?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
That just occurred to me.
And then like pigs and chickens are basically scavengers. So if there's like a lot of junk and garbage around, and pigs just eat anything. Like if you leave the garden hose in the pig pen, you'll be like, "Where's my garden hose? I can't find it." you ever had that happen to you, Mark?
That's the goats too. They'll tear it up. I mean, they'll probably eat pieces of it, but the pigs will. Well, I got a great pig story for you. This is going to make Bonnie flip her lid.
Mm-hmm.
Rats are reality on a pig farm. Anytime you have grain, you're going to have rodents, and I had a rat that got rather brave and decided he was going to go out and get the first helping of, the stuff that I poured into the trough. And I had my sow was in there. Her name was Abby, after Abigail Adams. They were all named after first ladies and presidents. And it was part of a homeschooling project, and it made it easier to shoot them. So Abby, who was in a glister old spot, she had, on more than one occasion, caught a rat.
Ew.
And this rat got himself into a corner in the trough, because I built it in. I don't know if you got to see it, Jay, but I built it in basically into the side of the barn.
Yep.
And it was just solid as it could be.
This was the trough.
This rat was going.
That Fitzy was eaten out of when I first moved over there.
Yep. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And Abby cornered that rat right in there and grabbed him. And, there was no saving him.
That's disgusting. So,
the homeschool.
Now, this is an animal that could barely see.
Right.
Yeah. She would just swallow a rat whole.
Ew.
I remember her. She had she was one of those sows that the ears came really forward and basically covered her eyes. So
yeah, she was a good girl.
So at one of our homeschool co-op events, we had let the meat birds graze. And one of the meat birds got into the chicken pen. And the meat birds, they're like, You walk up to one of the lay-in hens, and they just get right out of your way. Meat birds, they'll let you run them over. They don't care. They're just fat and lazy. You know,
the they can't chicken, move.
Yeah, they don't move. They don't really fly. Well, somehow this one got over the fence, and he's just in there, you know, picking through some pig poo and eating the corn and the bits out of it. And the pig just walks right up to it and just grabs it right by the head, crunches the head, and just. And then the three of them just devour, you know, this chicken.
Ew.
Because it's chicken, you know, that's what they do. And the chicken didn't get out of the way. So then I kind of had to set up a little better fence between the chickens and the pigs.
It's really creepy and disgusting. I just never
thought of pigs. We didn't buy the pigs. We didn't buy the chickens to feed the pigs.
No.
So, caller, does any of this answer your questions about fake meat?
Yes, it does. Well, I agree with the libertarian way. Hey, but one last thing I want to ask you guys is, like, is there any way that you guys can put the phone number of the show on the screen, please? Because I had to look through here to find it, and it turns out I already had it on my phone, and I forgot, you know, because I'm looking over here, but no, it's not. I see the website, but not the freetalklive.com, but not the number, you know, so can you guys help out with that, please?
Yeah, I can definitely talk to you about that and fix it. I'm surprised it's not on there. Thanks so much for the call. You have a good night, too. Thanks, caller.
Another thing I wanted to throw out there
about... James, right?
Yeah.
James, yeah, about...
From Florida.
...food in general. So first off, with the lab-grown meat, are you going to get lab-grown meat from some, you know, major corporation, or are you going to get it from a sweet little old lady making it in her own kitchen?
Neither.
Right? So, you know, so it's really... The lab-grown meat and the government subsidized foods don't support small entrepreneur farm operations. Like you're not getting the subsidies unless you're, you know, using all the Monsanto growing practices. And also, Mark remembers when I was 300 pounds. Like I was about 2012, I was like 300 pounds.
I know you were bigger.
Yep, I was 300 pounds. Now I'm about 220, 215. But to get my, I struggled to get to 260 pounds, and then at 260 pounds, I did a very strict diet. I didn't eat anything that was government subsidized.
Oh yeah, you said that. It was awesome.
I literally lost right about 55 pounds in something 48 days.
Wow, I bet the corn was
huge. What was the government? What did you cut out? I mean, so if somebody's listening and saying, what do you cut out if you're cutting out subsidized food? And I really want to talk to you about it here in just a moment, because I think it's a fascinating idea.
That
and
is.
Somebody could get passionately behind this.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. That number is 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. You can call in with whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Damian Williams for being a silver level amplifier with us. That means that Damian is giving to the amplifier program to help us to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, and just get the message out there about liberty, and we appreciate that so much. If you'd like to learn more and join Damian, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And thank you so much again to Damian. We really appreciate everyone who's an amplifier. We appreciate you guys' support. amps.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And me, Mark Edge, coming to you live, remote, from Florida.
So, in the last segment, Jay had just
Can anybody tell the difference in my audio, by the way?
Actually, it does sound... I think it sounds great.
Yeah, I think it sounds better.
Good.
So, in the last segment, Jay was saying that he lost 65 pounds?
Like 55 pounds, yep.
55 pounds with a special diet, and we wanted to know more about that.
So it's real simple. Stay away from all government-subsidized foods. So everything that is subsidized is pretty much listed on the food pyramid. That is, you know, the Grain Growers Association, especially the big part. So they want, you're like, oh, eat lots of grains. You know, you remember that thing they, I don't know, when I was in high school
like,
in the 90s.
The biggest part of the pyramid, yeah.
Right, is grain. So pretty much all
Cheerio.
Of your...
I mean, who would argue that Cheerios aren't good for you?
I would. So they're not because they're loaded with glyphosate. I just read a report that some thing at Dunkin' Donuts, a muffin or a bagel or something, or a donut maybe it was, had like 500 part per million of glyphosate in it. Glyphosate is the mineral inhibitor that kills weeds. It's actually the mineral inhibitor that's making Americans fat. 80% of American men are overweight. I heard that today. Half of American men are obese. It's a huge epidemic. Anyways.
Mine isn't.
but anyways, so everything that's government subsidized is real simple. It's all the stuff that's going to be at all your fast food stores, all your convenience stores, all the stuff in packages is prepackaged. So, for example, you're basically only going to be eating whole foods pretty much. So like a steak or like some you know, leafy green
beef salad. Is subsidized, surely.
Yep. So yes, most beef is subsidized. Most beef is. Now, when you go buy beef from...
And pork and chicken.
Yep. Most of your meat is subsidized from the grocery store. And there is a subsidy with it. So, but the organic stuff or like the grass-fed organic is not going to be subsidized. But the problem is you can't trust these labels. Now, at the time I did this diet, I was living in Colorado. I was working on my stepfather's farm. And basically what I was eating was like eggs from our chickens, spinach from the store. You know, I did eat some bread, but the bread I ate was Ezekiel bread. And Ezekiel bread doesn't have any seed oils in it.
Yeah, it's just sprouted grains.
And it's in the freezer section at your grocery store. That is definitely not government subsidized because it's like $7 a loaf. Not $2 a loaf like your Wonder Bread, which is all garbage.
But Jesus likes it better.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Well, I guess the idea with Ezekiel bread is the Ezekiel passage is something like, you know, eating, you know, clean foods or something. Mm. And I read it, but I can't remember what it is now. But anyways, so what I would do is I would eat protein and fat for my breakfast. And at that time, I was getting up first thing in the morning and eating. I wasn't really doing any fasting. So I'd eat like, you know, 4 eggs with, you know, a good chunk of butter cooked in it. And I would cook in some spinach and some kale that was from the garden or from the store. I was also... would eat like some organic yogurt. I would eat like eat apples, pears, and I would basically eat, you know, just, I don't know, a half a pound or a pound of hamburger at night or in the evening for dinner.
This is grass-fed hamburger.
Actually, no, it wasn't grass-fed. It was from my stepfather's dairy cows. It was what we had in the freezer. Okay. So those cows were eating, you know, all the Roundup Ready feed. Wow. But... the biggest thing is I wasn't eating grains and seed oils is really what it comes down to. So anything that has any kind of seed oil in it, cotton seed, canola, anything that has palm oil, anything that has any ingredient sugar. So sugar is from sugar beets that are very heavily government subsidized. Wheat is very heavily government subsidized.
Beets are subsidized?
Beets. Huh. Oh, sugar beets are definitely subsidized. Absolutely.
I would have never guessed.
You can get like coconut sugar instead.
Right. And then cane sugar is also, there's a big subsidy on cane sugar. That's why
the price. Protected by tariffs like nobody's business. Yeah.
On our honeymoon, my wife and I, we did a excursion on St. Kitts. And it was there's a rainforest in St. Kitts in the Caribbean. And it goes, and that was pretty cool. But St. Kitts, like up until 1975, was like their economy was sugar. Like they can grow sugar cane really well there, and they got nice ports to ship it out all over the world. And basically in the 1970s, sugar was like $400 to $500 a ton for the finished product. And now it's like under $100 a ton for the finished product because of essentially the U.S. and the U.S., you know, just with their subsidies on sugar, just pushing the price of sugar down.
Hmm.
So if it says sugar, if it says cane sugar, which is cane sugar is just, it's sugar cane. I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to make you fat. And even maple syrup is pretty heavily subsidized too, especially if you're getting Canadian maple syrup.
Hmm.
There's a whole maple syrup cartel in Canada. In fact, if you're a farmer in Canada, if you have maple trees, you don't own them. The province of Quebec owns those maple trees.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a whole documentary called Rotted. It was on Netflix I watched years ago, and there was a whole thing about the maple syrup cartel.
Even if it's on just your property, yep. at your house?
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
It's gross.
Well, I mean, you know, they were loyalists. They didn't want to be part of the revolution again, you know, and get away from, you know, the crown. So anyways, I just basically there's limited things that you can eat. So you can't walk into a gas station and really get anything. I mean, there are some beef jerky like type things you can buy that aren't government subsidized, but almost all of them have like high fructose corn syrup in it, brown sugar in it. You know,
I guess
some
you can
kind
get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, coffee's I was drinking coffee back then. In fact, I was doing bulletproof coffee. You know, which is
just with butter in it.
Butter,
yeah, coffee with butter in it, yep.
and coconut oil. Or back then, I was using MCT oil. Now MCT oil has gotten really crazy in price.
Oh, really?
And now some MTC oil is made with palm oil.
Palm oil, yeah.
But
that's one problem I heard with it.
Fractionated coconut oil is like the ultimate thing you want. But the thing is, I wasn't eating any junk food. I wasn't drinking any sugar. I was basically only drinking water, coffee. And, you know, just eating, you know, leafy greens. And I was eating some small grains, like I would do some buckwheat kind of things, or even oatmeal I would do occasionally. But, you know, it wasn't Quaker oats. You know, it's definitely the government subsidized stuff. If it's organic oats, you know, that's not government subsidized because there is no subsidy for organic food.
So is basically it cut out snacking, right? Like you couldn't stop off at a convenience store and buy any stuff. And your whole diet plan was to avoid government subsidized food.
Yes.
Now, I quit smoking in 2009. Here's the reason. It's another strange reason, just like you, Jay, is I decided that I wasn't, they were going to tax cigars, Obama's new, you know, give money to the hospitalized kids was going to tax people who smoked cigars and roll your own cigarettes, because they'd already taxed the heck out of cigarettes themselves, so they were going to go after this other market. And I decided money's fungible, so any dollar I give to the government is a dollar they're going to use to put a bullet in a gun and, you know, shoot kids in foreign countries with them.
That's true.
And I'm just not going to do it. So I gave up smoking at that time. I used Chantix. This was just a little before the whole vaporizing thing. I probably would have done vaporizing to quit.
Well,
but
probably good you didn't. They're bad too.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're good, but it's probably better than smoking combusted tobacco.
I don't know. You don't even know what's in there.
Well, either way, this is not medical advice. This is just some kook who quit smoking. So I quit smoking because I used this belief, this closely held belief, that the government uses my money to hurt people half a globe away, and I'm not going to give them that. And so that's what I referenced every time my mind said, I sure would like to smoke a cigar. And I just quit basically based on this. And I think that you did something similar, Jay, you used your philosophy, your belief system, and parlayed it into weight loss, essentially. Is that basic? Is that a restatement?
Yep. That's a statement, because everything the government subsidizes is to make you a pharmaceutical customer for life, is to make you weak, is to make it so you're dependent on the state. They do not want a society to exist that can live without government, that can be without government. It's another thing with this whole, you know, child chopping, child mutilation stuff that these, you know, wackadoo mentally ill people on the left are pushing for so hard, you start getting some young kid or an individual of any age on, you know, puberty messer uppers, hormone whatevers that they're, you know, giving them. I don't know really what these things are called. But they are a pharmaceutical customer for life. They need that hormone for the rest of their life. So the idea of what everything the government is pushing, everything they're doing from the public schools, from the medical system, from the food industry, is to make you dependent on, you know, some corporate entity somewhere, somehow. So where if you're just trying, and now what I'm trying to do, really trying to do here, is just try to, you know, eat off of our own land. And in a summertime, we pretty much almost do that. You know, my wife was like, man, I can't wait until like stuff starts growing again, because, you know, the grocery bill goes to, you know, almost nothing.
Nice.
Like the only thing that we really buy is like grass-fed, you know, butter from grass-fed cows and some, you know, maybe some raw milk from a local dairy, some ice cream that we buy from a local outfit that makes ice cream, nice. Isley Farm and Ware. And not much, maybe some avocados and oranges and apples we'll buy. But even the apples, we're just going to start trading with people. We got, you know, buddies now that, you know, got apple orchards going. And
yeah, you can grow apples up here. Maybe not.
The apples grow well, yeah.
Oranges and avocados.
So I've got a funny story about prescriptions. During, you know, I had COVID and it hurt my brain somehow. And I was getting these migraine headaches. I'd never had headaches before, but I was getting these headaches. And one of the pills that the, you know, doctor prescribed me, and it seemed to work, was this beta blocker. And it was basically for blood pressure, but they also used it for migraines. So if I took this thing twice a day, I wouldn't get migraines. But turns out beta blockers have, addictive is a strong word, but you develop a dependency on them. And if you don't take them, you get, wait for it, headaches. So the pill that stops the headaches causes the headaches when you stop.
That's really stupid.
Yeah, so I've been weaning myself off of those slowly, but I've still had a couple of headaches while I've been doing it. I believe I got cured from my COVID problems by doing hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Nice. You like 100% from your brain problems?
I feel like the damaged hard drive is still damaged wherever it was. So if I need to rebuild memories in a particular area, then that's what I have to do. But by and large, yeah, I mean, I feel 100%.
I started going on, or I started doing Zyrtec again because I need antihistamine. I'm not going to deal with having allergies and just hope that honey fixes it, because it doesn't. So I went back on Zyrtec, but I noticed that it has a whole bunch of like inactive ingredients. So I looked some of those up, and some of them are so, so bad. I don't even remember what they are off the top of my head, but they're like bad for the gut and the brain. So I'm not going to take that anymore. And I'm just going to find like not brand name, whatever you call that. I can't remember the word for not brand name.
Generic?
Generic, whatever it is that Zyrtec is, instead of just taking Zyrtec itself, because it's like, I don't know, the outside of it apparently is made of all this crap that's like totally unnecessary. So I'm just going to start taking whatever the generic thing is. But I don't know. I feel like I should finish my bottle of Zyrtec, because that stuff is expensive. But then again, I'm like, am I damaging my brain? Well, somebody...
Well, as young as you are, you can damage whatever you want and it'll grow back, is the answer.
Well,
so I'd take them if I paid for them.
You always think I'm way younger than I am, so I don't know.
Well, you're under 30.
Yeah, that's true. And always will be. Sarah in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry that you started talking about allergies.
Yeah.
I think Albuquerque, do you guys have allergies where you live, because it's springtime?
I don't know why I have allergies. I had it in the middle of the stupid winter here. I have no clue. But when I take antihistamines, I feel better. I feel like I can breathe. I don't feel like I'm blowing my nose constantly. So I don't really know why I have allergies. And I've lived in multiple different states where I had it. So I don't know which thing I'm allergic to. I haven't gotten tested. I guess that's a thing you can do, but I haven't. Why, Sarah?
Oh, that is bizarre, but because Albuquerque was ranked like the worst place for allergies. And they were ranking other places. They counted it by how many people were buying that Zyrtec, are you talking about, medications. Mm-hmm. But over here, it's just that they, people don't have money to have. You can't base it on how much medication you sell because people have allergies. They don't have money to buy it. But I don't know, but we were finally ranked like the worst place for allergy, and I got really
I'm
bad
really
allergy.
Surprised at that, Sarah.
Me too.
My thought process is that Albuquerque is sort of an arid place. I could be wrong on this. That means it doesn't rain much. If it doesn't rain much, it doesn't seem like there'd be a lot of flowering trees and pollen in the air. And if there's not a lot of pollen in the air, that allergies wouldn't be an issue. Can you explain to me why Albuquerque is the number one place for allergies?
Well, Sarah, does Albuquerque have sagebrush or tumbleweeds?
Well, Sarah also believes Albuquerque's number one for traffic deaths, yeah. You know, alcoholism.
She says it's number one for, I was thinking the same
thing. A whole bunch of things. But yeah, there's it's a desert out there.
Is there tumbleweeds called sagebrush, Sarah?
Well, okay, I'm going to make it to a, I was wondering about too, it's like what's causing all these allergies. It's because they planted a whole bunch of plants like cottonwood, juniper, that's not native to this climate. So what happens is that we have all these warm weather, and they produce pollens like all year round, almost except the winter time. Only time we don't have allergies is like November through like February. Once it starts like March, we start getting allergies. They planted a whole bunch of trees that's not native, and they even try to have people chop their mulberry tree down, and they refuse to chop them down because the allergies were so horrible. And people are coughing so bad, they wind up in hospitals because they get it into their lungs. So we were ranked number one. I don't know how they detect that. It's like the people that come into the hospital get prescription medications. And I even talked to one guy that he gets, the doctor has to prescribe him steroids, inhalations for his nose, like a steroid. And I even got a cortisone shot in my butt. For 1 year to help my allergies. And I was thinking, you get your allergies in the middle of winter. I mean, that's peculiar. You live in New Hampshire. I mean, what is that about? And usually they get it in the springtime, you know?
Yeah, I didn't have I wasn't sick at all. But during this winter, I just noticed there was constantly I was blowing my nose and no other symptoms. And then I went on Zyrtec and I'm completely healed. So I don't know if that literally means I have allergies or...
Another allergy, you know, a sort of exciter is the vaccines. So this...
I didn't get vaccinated.
This doctor up in Washington State that Ernie Hancock talks about all the time basically did a whole study. He's a sort of a holistic doctor, a pediatrician, and he's one of these guys that didn't push vaccines at all, and he got a bunch of people in his clinic that didn't vaccinate, and he had 30 years of data that he basically put together, and the more vaccinated you are, the more doctor visits you have and the more insurance money gets paid to the hospitals and the doctors because you have more doctor visits. Also, there is there's studies out there where the vaccinated kids, especially with the MMR vaccine, but basically the kids that are up to date on a childhood vaccine schedule are 36 more times likely to have allergies. And I have no allergies, and I got one tetanus shot when I was 14 years old.
I got a few vaccines, and before I was even 1 year old, my mom was "Oh, I'm not giving my kids vaccines anymore." So I didn't get very many vaccines. I had regular chickenpox themselves. I didn't get very many vaccines, so I don't know. I didn't get the vaccine as in the COVID one either. Maybe there's another thing that it could be is dust in the house. I don't know. We have a bunch of computers and people in our house.
I was going to say, you know what helps with the allergies? We finally got those pink softland rooms, those rooms that have bricks and stuff like that. They have a couple of these open now where you could go get a relief out of these salt rooms. I don't know if they have them in where you live, Keynes or something, the New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But at least you could get some kind of relief for about 30 minutes.
Wow, so a salt lamp room. That's pretty cool.
I've been into it, and then it's like they got bricks that are the walls are lined with it, and they put salt on the floor, and they have light coming through it, and it actually ionizes the air.
Wow, so I have a salt lamp, sorry, that died here in the studio. Maybe I, like, it. Sorry, it's light bulb died. Maybe I need to put its light bulb back in, and maybe it will help me again, because it died a couple months ago, and maybe that coincides with my thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a level of light. And then, you know what, you might have to, for that square footage, you might have to get maybe two or three to really fill it. I don't know how one would work for 300 square feet. So for that room, you might, if you have two or three of them, that'll work better.
Yeah, I actually have another one upstairs. Ian made me get rid of one because he said I didn't need three salt lamps. Thank you for the call, Sarah. We appreciate the call. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to call in. 603.
You don't need that kind of negativity in your life, Bonnie.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. I just gave it to Nikki, and Matt was mad that she had another rock. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you on the show tonight on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark coming to you remote from Florida.
And so one thing that Jay wanted to talk about tonight was something that we've brought up in the last few weeks, but there are updates happening all the time because it's an ongoing investigation, I guess you call it, an ongoing committee.
Yep.
And so what has been going on in the committee to investigate the CYF, which is the Child Protective Services of New Hampshire?
So there was a meeting last Monday, and if you go on to my X profile, which is J Noon Man Camp, right at the top of the page there, I have the committee hearing. You can click on it and check it out on YouTube. You want to go to 2 hours and 14 minutes. The first hour is just a blue screen of nothing. But anyways, it started off with Leah Cushman, who was removed from the committee because the Speaker of the House, Sherman Packard, is quite obviously, wanting to protect the interests of the state of New Hampshire. And Leah wanted requesting that people testify under oath, and it's very important that people testify under oath to these committees, because otherwise your testimony doesn't mean crap. It is useless.
Now, Cushman is a rep, and she was kicked out of the committee by another rep?
Yep, by the Speaker of the House, Sherman Packard, and we need to get rid of this guy.
Now, is he a Republican or Democrat?
Yes, he is. He's a Republican, but he acts like a Democrat. And he's an establishment Republican. So I was talking to one of the guys who's a member of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, and he's like, well, that's a double-edged sword if we get rid of him because he's a Republican. We might get a Democrat in there. I'm like, I can't tell the difference between establishment Republicans and Democrats. I mean, for things that actually really matter, there is no difference. They're like authoritarian, more taxes, less accountability. They just all they care about is, their own thing. And I mean, so, and the thing is, I just think that there's so much dirt on everybody, especially with all the data mining. I'm convinced Google knows who pedophiles are before the pedophiles even realize they're pedophiles. Just like Google knows, Amazon knows based on your Amazon search that you're pregnant before the woman knows she's pregnant. Like, that's been happening. Anyways, the latest committee hearing was this past Monday, and which would be March 25th, and it was scary. A woman actually gets up there and testifies how her ex-boyfriend, her ex-partner, worked at the youth detention center and was drugging her and having relations with her children. And this woman, like, just broke out crying and had to, like, just leave. She was like, I'm so embarrassed. And I went out in the hallway and listened to her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a chance to talk to her there because some other people were talking with her. But, like, there's, like, a lot of occultist kind of behavior going on in these institutions.
Freakery, like, stuff you wouldn't expect, like, the average Joe to be into.
The average Joe isn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
It is psychopaths that are into it. It is predators that are into it. And places like youth detention centers are just a magnet to these psychopathic predators because they get qualified immunity. They're part of these, you know, labor unions that, like, go fight tooth and nail to protect this. And the evil people of the world constantly want to harvest the essence of the children. What's that movie called? I think it's called The Labyrinth. Have you seen that? Where the Xexies, I think they're called. They're like the evil people who, like, you know, extract the essence using this crystal out of the children so they can live. It's basically
creepy.
It's basically, you know, very much what DCYF is
the
doing.
The David Bowie movie, Labyrinth?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but...
Well, I noticed I think it's called The Labyrinth. It's a very old movie, and I've watched it like 2 years ago. It was the only time
I bet most people know what we're talking about, but I just never have seen it. My mom likes the movie, so I'm pretty sure it's called Labyrinth.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially what, you know, the evil people of the world, the people who believe in Satan and all this occult worship stuff and these kind of things. Another guy that really covers this for years now is a guy named Mark Passio.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen his work. I don't know what the what the DCYF is up to, but what I can say is there's been many stories of people who have had their kids taken for what appear to be pretty minor incidents by the mainstream media reporting these shows. I mean, these aren't just some crack addict saying, hey, maybe this happened or that happened. No, I mean, these are, you know, this is journalists that are saying this stuff at the very least. And that the kid ends up dead or raped or...
Harmony,
you know.
Montgomery, the little girl, 5 years old, ends up dead. She was taken away from her mother and given to her father, who's like a known, like, drug dealer and, like, bad dude.
Hmm.
I mean, just the guy's got all of the, like, classic, you know, I'm not good. My daughter brings home a guy like that, they're not going to find him, you know, all face tattooed, like up a gangster and everything, you know.
Some of them are, you know, foster people that are vetted by the state, and there's all kinds of stories. The best I can tell is that in 99% of the cases, the kid would have been better off with their parents. Are their parents good? No. Is separating a kid from its parents good? No, it's pretty darn terrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know some good people who work within the foster system. I've met some of them, and I believe strongly they're trying to do their very best. But at the same time, those people get used and abused by the system also. Yeah. I know people who've left the foster system because the state puts people in their homes who at 18 won't move out. And then what do you do?
I've been talking with six or seven people that are current foster parents that have all kinds of grievances against DCYF and all kinds of issues. And they are terrified to come speak at a public hearing about this because they believe that they will be heavily targeted by DCYF.
Hmm.
But so in this hearing, you should really watch this hearing. There was another hearing also that was, I believe, on March 4th. And if you actually click on this YouTube channel and then just highlight House Special Committee on a Division for Children, Youth, and Families, and then, you know, copy and paste that into the YouTube search, you'll find the other one from March 4th. And you start listening to these hearings. And so some of the common themes are what they're saying is that these social workers in DCYF, they don't have families. They're not parents. They're not biological parents. They don't have improper training. They have very little training. In fact, New Hampshire DCYF has the highest turnover rate of all the divisions in the state of New Hampshire. It's the highest turnover rate because the people, because most people are actually really grossed out by what goes on there and they can't tolerate it. And then the ones who stay in the system and just go along to get along or are part of the, you know, diabolical evil things that they're doing, mm-hmm. Just stay there. So, and then the other thing too is you have this Child Family Leave Act of 1996 or 97, which Jeffrey Epstein's really good friend, Billy Clinton, you know, who's a known rapist and, you know, a known pedophile. He's all kinds of all kinds of things brought up against him. There was scandals with him going way back. You know, there's a whole, you know, Clinton kill list. There's a book out there all about that. And anyways, they passed this Child Safety Adoption Act. And it gives tons of money from the Social Security Administration to judges, prosecutors, lawyers that work for the state, family court judges in the form of their pension funds. Also, one of the guys told me after this committee hearing, one of the people said that part of this Title IV-D money, there's 10% of it that 66% goes to the judicial pension fund. This is when child support is paid, and 10% goes to an administrator, and they can't figure out who the administrator is in New Hampshire that's getting millions of dollars every year.
What?
They won't tell them who the administrator is, and this guy, he's like, I've done public records requests, and he can't find out. So you should really watch these videos. Leah Cushman, in the beginning, does her testimony, and she was one who was kicked off the committee about, you know, essentially due process of law and that family court is in DCYF are operating in an unconstitutional way. And then I testify in this, as some other people who have been damaged. But the thing is, and the other common thing with DCYF we're hearing in these testimonies is that DCYF is not going and dealing with kids that have actual real issues. There are so many reports of where people, they're like, oh, well, we called DCYF. The school notified DCYF. The police notified DCYF. This kid smells like urine. The kid's reporting to the bus driver he's hungry because he hasn't ate anything, you know, all weekend at home because there's no food at home because mom and dad are crackheads or mom's just a crackhead. And there's a lot of that going on. And they're just not interested in these troubled, destroyed kids because they're really, really difficult in the adoption program. Nobody wants to adopt a 14-year-old boy or girl that has been traumatized and abused because what happens is when they start adopting these teenage girls who have been put through the ringer, the teenage girls just cry rape, whether it happens or not. And then these, you know, foster parents, you know, don't want to deal with it, or they, you know, start, you know, making up, you know, things about foster parents. It really goes all different directions. The system is a wreck. And a lot of the way that these kids are getting really traumatized, well, is by DCYF getting involved in their life. But so we know the government is making sure that drugs are on the streets. They're doing this, you know, Health and Human Services is making sure there's drug, you know, we have all these drug encampments in all these big cities because all the people doing the drugs are on welfare. Prove me wrong if you want. But all the people who are overdosing that the EMTs I talk to, they have an EBT card. They have some kind of welfare. They're on disability. They're on Social Security, whatever, something. They're getting some kind of free feed from the state so they don't have to work. They can just be career drug addicts. So this is creating really degrading culture because now you're having – and then there's a whole agenda to separate families and make sure that children aren't living with their moms and dads. And and the social workers aren't competent. I wish I could give a little better brief on, you know, this – these committee sessions, but please go to my Twitter profile, J Noon Man Camp. That's JAYNOONE, and check out and listen to this video. Just listen to it or watch it, whatever you want. And there is an agenda here that the Democrats and I want to say the radical mental ill Democrats, especially because a lot of these old school Democrats I talk to, like people in their 60s and 70s are like, no, this stuff is all wrong that these radical guys are doing. I can't believe how many Democrats voted for Biden that I personally know that have been lifelong Democrats are like, no, I'm definitely voting for Trump because Biden is just, you know, just so demented and evil. But the whole culture of the people working for DCYF, they're all, you know, most of them are of the woke.
Yeah.
Woke mental illness they're suffering from.
Me and my sister were just talking today about the people that work at the library, because we went to the library today. And unfortunately, I had to go to this one girl to check out. I guess it was a girl. This like big blob with blue short hair and a mask on, and check out my books. And we were just talking about how we get this vibe from those leftist types with the masks on that they're really judgy and rude.
Oh yeah.
And then I don't know. I was talking with Colin about it, who's also on the show, and he was saying, like, what do you think those things think when they're looking at you? Like, they're probably not jealous of me, like a girl who wants to be pretty and like small and fun and cute. They're probably thinking like, oh, poor her. She is like, that's just what I think. Like, she doesn't have blue short hair. She doesn't have a mask on. She's misled.
Yeah,
that's probably what they're thinking. They're just so messed up.
I appreciate that these mentally ill libtards, I like to refer to them as, I think is a great way to put it, dye their hair colors, because that is just a warning in nature to stay away. I dealt with a libtard, an actual libtard, this morning at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to...
tell that story.
I was talking to a four-year-old boy and his mom next to me. I was telling about homeschool co-op and all the things we do. And she's like, oh, that's awesome. I want to do that. And then the kid goes, I'm going to the dentist. And I'm like, well, don't let him put any fluoride in your teeth or your body. You know, that's a neurotoxin. And the mom's like, yeah, we don't do fluoride. And we exchanged phone numbers. It was pretty cool. They're going to, you know, collaborate with us on some stuff. And then another guy starts asking me about being a farmer. And he asked me if I like Trump. And I said, I don't like, you know, anybody who's going to, you know, in that position of authority. Trump is, you know, he's just... I'm not into Trump. I'm a libertarian, I tell him. And I said, and he goes, so who do you think's going to win the election? I go, well, I hope Biden wins the election, because the American people need four more years of Biden so they understand what socialism and communism is. They haven't really had a taste of it yet, right? And I really think that it needs to get so bad that everything collapses, so that these libtards, the parasite class, you know, all these people who work in government and for government subsidized institutions that would have no value in the real world marketplace, die off, or at least get to the point to where they're like, oh, I actually have to do something and be useful and be valuable and be nice to my neighbors. Because we have just a lot of, you know, people that have essentially no value except for their government job. I mean, look at the people that work at the DMV and the people that, like, you know, just like you said, you know, the girl at the library who is just, you know, like, probably upset that she even has to go to work. And you see all these, you know.
She obviously looked like she's upset she had to move.
Yeah. And so like the culture of, and this is, you know, sort of what living on top of yourself in cities for generation has done, just like Thomas Jefferson predicted, you know, a couple hundred years ago.
So that lady got mad that you were talking about socialism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She got all upset. She's like, well, you're going to have to stop. I can't eat my food anymore. And then as soon as I said, oh, okay. So I just talked to the guy about, you know, something more neutral. And I also have a voice that carries, so other people hear it. But I was hoping,
you sure do.
I was hoping she was going to give me a hard time or say something to me. And I was going to say, well, then you'll have to excuse me for triggering your mental illness. And if you want to identify whether or not someone has a mental illness, ask them just point out that they have a mental illness, and they'll throw a coffee cup or something at you, quite likely. You know, be prepared to deflect it or whatever, and or be prepared for them to jump on top of you. And I'm actually I had to go somewhere where I couldn't carry my arm, you know, my gun this morning, so I didn't have it on me. So I'm actually a lot more into antagonizing these people when I'm not armed. Because, you know, if they come at me, I can just, you know, punch them back or something. But the problem is when you attack, you got to be very careful what you say to these libtards that have mental illnesses, because their brains and then, you know, have been rewired by the algorithm, you know, so their frontal lobe is quite likely, if they've been using internet devices most of their life, or at least their pre-6-year-old years, and she could have been, she was young. You know, the frontal lobe is wired to the rage part of the brain, you know, the amygdala. So if you start pissing them off a little bit, they they want to attack you. And you can't be inciting people when you carry a sidearm, because if they come at you, you have to shoot them. It's really the bottom line.
We do have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Eric from California. And
what's on your mind, Eric?
The only part of the show I've heard so far is the last few minutes while I was on hold, because I just got a random thought in my head to call in, because in the past few, because you guys are on from 4 to 7 where I am, and it doesn't work with my work schedule, so I usually listen the next day. But I had a thought recently. I was like, you know what? I thought Jay Noon said before that he had a podcast or something. So I tried to look it up online, and you're kind of hard to find online, actually.
So I do have a website. I do not have a podcast. I have done many podcasts. And what I need to do is just put basically links to podcasts I've done on my website. My website is jaynoon.com. That's JAYNOONE.com. Down the bottom of the page are some donate links if you want to donate some cryptocurrency to me. There's a little blurb on there about Man Camp that's pretty old. I'm like real busy. I don't have a lot of time to like mess around with this website stuff, and I'm not good at it. But if you go on my Twitter page, you can see there's a podcast that I did at Anarchapulco with Curtis Stone, Tim Pichot, and myself. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long. I also, there is, if you scroll through my Twitter profile, there's a couple of podcasts I put up there. And if you internet search jnoonfreedomsphoenix.com, there's about 25 podcasts I've done with Ernie over the past few years. And I've done, and actually I got a whole bunch of other podcasts I've been doing with some other guys. I just need to sort of put them all on a spot, I guess, on my website with these podcasts, because I've probably done 100 now in the past few years.
Yeah, because I heard you bring it up before, and I went searching like even on Yandex or whatever and couldn't find it within 5 minutes easily enough.
There's a guy, he does a podcast. I'm on the 9th episode. It's called Jab Rehab. Or After the Jab. Darn it, I got to get that right. But anyways, Sean Allman is his name. They're part of the, he's part of the I Heal Collective. And they do a really good job with their production. That was one I just did. I just did one with Ernie Hancock. I did another one that so I've actually done about 5 podcasts in the past 4 weeks. So,
have you posted anywhere your Alt Expo speech?
I haven't. Actually, the audio is horrible on that. You can't see anything. So I'm going to do that presentation. I'm going to do it a little differently. And I'm going to put that up on YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel, Jay Noon, and a bunch of numbers. I mean, but most of that is just, most of my videos are from like 10 years ago when I was farming. They're basically videos I made for my nephews while I was out in Colorado working on the, you know, the big crop production farm. And then some of them are some newer videos.
Is that all you had for us today, Eric?
I will say that if you trying to just find Jay Noon on the internet, that one of the first guys that shows up is like a physician assistant, and he's also a commercial fisherman.
Yeah, that's not me.
A lot of fish picks.
But jaynoon.com is my website, JAYNOONE. I'm there.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Eric. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? You have only like a minute.
Yo, Bonnie, it's your boy. I mean, your dad. I mean, your baby daddy.
Ew.
Beaver.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't have one of those, so.
Yeah.
You know, hey. So, yeah. And I called to talk. Oh, how's the tiny tyrant tonight?
Me? Good. You have started something so annoying. Now that's just what Colin calls me.
The tiny tyrant.
What about Minnie Mao? Did he forget about Minnie Mao?
No, he loves that one too.
And
all because I hung up on you once. It's all because I hung up on you about the horse question, isn't it?
I'm calling about horse tonight. So,
horse or horses?
Well, she won't let me talk about horses, so I'm calling about horse. You know, hey, you know any good ones, Bonnie? Can you
hook
me up with a good whore? I mean, good whore? No? Okay.
No.
Do you know how to make a hormone?
Okay. Don't pay her, dude.
Tell her you won't
Been
pay
there,
her.
Done that. You got to pay those whores good.
It's terrible. Yeah. So is that it's really terrible. What you called That's into right. talk radio for, David?
No. No, no. I got way more, but you got no time because Jay talks too much.
He was on a roll.
Just kidding, Jay. Just kidding, Jay. Jay, you do good. I'm just kidding. I'm just, you know, see, Jay can take it. Jay's a man. Jay's a real man. He can take it. And Mark.
I'm not a real man.
You're not a real man. You're one of them, the transition from one thing to the other, right?
No.
No? Oh, I'm sorry about that. I thought, oh, wait, that's
You didn't
Aria.
Think
that's
that. Aria. Oh, I was like, you did not think that. This has been
Good
Free
night, David.
Talk.
The clock waits for no one.
This has been Free Talk Live. FreeTalkLive.com, JNoon.com as well, since people are asking if you want to find more from us. Thank you for listening, and we'll be on every other night of the week. So just catch us there at FreeTalkLive.com. Peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.